किमिरन्दस्य किञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय, श्रील गुरुदेव की जाय, गौर भक्तवृन्द की जाय, गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। Examine the quality of Srila Sridhar Maharaj's writings. One cannot help but realize his substantial connection with the topmost object of our aspirations, his total internal absorption and dedication to the highest ideals of Vaishnavism. Srila Sridhar Maharaj is continuously presented that Srila Sridhar Maharaj continuously presented the most profound realizations and deepest knowledge of the scriptures is self-evident to the unbiased observer. And this is the criterion for judging a Vaishnava as given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. To evaluate his internal absorption, not judge his external activities. Is everything okay? One simply has to read his literatures or listen to recordings of his talks to see that his unique presentation of the Gaudiya Siddhanta is unprecedentedly crystal clear and worthy of the title Shastra Nipunda, one who has very deep realization of the scriptures awarded by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This title Shastra Nipunda, one who is expert in the scriptures, was given by Srila Saraswati Thakur to Bhakti Raka Sridhar Maharaj. Because he was able to find in the writings, sometimes they would write different things, he was able to find different, misconstrues of the scriptures or mistakes and point them out. Those who have nourished their wilted creeper of devotion in the divine elixir, spontaneously overflowing from Srila Sridhar Maharaj's humble personage, cannot properly and sufficiently express his endless glories. Srila Sridhar Maharaj tirelessly preached to the satisfied, the disenchanted and faithless, who are headed for unknown quarter. Such a grand affinity for Krishna Katha is indeed difficult to achieve, a symptom in itself of his noble and lofty position. For a glowing eulogy of Srila Sridhar Maharaj by the senior most Gaudiya Vaishnava on the planet, we refer the readers to Chapter 2, Exalted Glorification of Param Pujapad Srila Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj by His Holiness Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj. As a final substantiation, in this section we present an excerpt illustrating the expert manner that Srila Sridhar Maharaj explained to one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Srila Prabhupada's statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila 146, and all the ancient literatures of devotional service and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. My voice is not very good today. Maybe, Mati, would you like to read? Hare Bol, Jagamohini Devi. Very nice to see you are here. Mati, would you like to begin reading? Srila Sridhar Maharaj's answers. Thank you.
Srila Sridhar Maharaj answers. We may see the according to Rasa Vichara. In Madhurya Rasa, the Guru is the representation of Radharani, and in Adhok Rasa, he is the representation of Nityananda Baladeva. Two divisions, representation of himself, representation of the highest servitor in a particular department, and also representation of any of the special servitors in any of these camps. These threefold rasas may be discussed and understood. The three phases. First, the Lord Himself is Guru. Next, we are told the most favorite and the most favorite. Next, we are told the most favorite and that most favorite may be in a different rasa. The third there in the first darsana, on the top of the Everest. And the next, the nearby.
Mati, can you read louder? Is it possible you can read closer to the mic? Losing some of your words.
Do you want me to start over, Maharaj, from where I was? From Sri Yashoda's
Maharaj. Are you reading closer?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Now? Yes, we can hear you. It's just very soft.
I'm going to start over from Sri Yashoda's answer. Sri Yashoda Maharaj answer. We may see this according to the Rasa Vikara. Hello?
Okay.
We may see this according to the Rasa Vikara. In Madhya Rasa, the Guru is a representation of Radharani, and in other rasas, he is a representation of Nityananda Baladeva. Two divisions, representation of himself, representation of the higher servitor in a particular department, and also representation of any of the special servitors in any of these camps. These threefold rasas may be discussed and understood. The three phases, first the Lord Himself is Guru. Next we are told the most favorite, and that most favorite may be in a different rasa. Then the three there in the first darsana, only the top of Everest. And next the nearby peak, and then what is suitable for any special personality according to the atmosphere, as so much cold, where I can take shelter, what is suitable to me? What cave will be suitable for me for permanent living? In this way, it is to be adjusted at least in three different planes. First, to the Lord Himself, then in the next stage, we find the first class servitor and head of every department of service, and finally, third, in my particular department. One servitor may have different departments than any particular department. There is head under his care. I shall begin my eternal life. The Manjari class, Radharani Rupa Manjari, first Krishna, Radharani Rupa Manjari, Madhura Rasa, Krishna Balaram, and then Subala, or any other friend, Sakya Rasa. In this way, in Vatsalya Rasa, Krishna and Yasoda Nanda, and then any other helping hand to Yasoda Nanda. In this way, location is to be traced, and there are three stages. Devotees. So they are different groups, Sridhar Maharaj. They are different groups, and then fighting between the groups. Radharani's group and Kandavali group. They are fighting temperament. This is also there. Devotee. There. All are harmonized in transcendental plane. There is complete harmony within Srila Sridhar Maharaj. But that harmony, that difference is there also to promote the intensity of service. There it is harmonized to competition. There is competition. Swami Maharaj utilized this competitive spirit in his propaganda. That competition there enhances the central So that has been given, that plan, that design has been accepted there. The competition, the yoga maya, enhances the degree of servicing mood, and that is utilized. What is here is a perverted reflection. So competition is also utilized, the spirit of competition, and because that is all harmonizing, that is all good. Origin of the jiva. The controversy concerning the origin of the jiva has been undecided for many years. We are amazed that not only hasn't this issue been resolved satisfactorily, but a considerable number of devotees have reached the wrong conclusion. Although one ego perhaps doesn't like to accept that Srila Prabhupada sometimes preached dumb to us, or we are unable to personally adjust his conflicting statements on the subject, we nevertheless are more or less forced to accept the siddhantic conclusion as enunciated by all the acharyas in our line, and even those out of our line for that matter. At the time, Gaurav Govinda Maharaj, who was a prominent and respectfully situated ISKCON acharya, was so much disturbed by the GBC's ongoing superficial handling of this and other issues that he very privately revealed to several of his closer disciples that he was seriously considering leaving ISKCON. Prajwara Swami, one of the most respected and well-known Swami in the line of Madhava, who is especially respected and sought after by many ISKCON leaders, in a visit to Sridharma Mayapura just prior to Gaura Purnima 1995, responded upon hearing of this controversy with the Siddhanta is the response. This controversy with the Siddhanta is very clear that we do not fall from Vaikuntha. How can there be?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, can you stop the reading for a minute? Maharaj is dropped actually. So,
proponents of the fall from Vaikuntha theory say that they cannot tolerate that. We say that Srila Prabhupada says things which are not true. Isn't it the maxim of the Krishna conscious preacher to convince others one way or the other, the book, by hook or by crook? Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niva. Neve Sayat. Somehow or other, bring them to Krishna consciousness and later gradually introduce the rules and regulation on the finer philosophical point. Rupa Goswami. Didn't Srila Prabhupada continuously do this? So many examples come to mind. Such a tricking the child to take medicine. It's candy. What we really say is that we can't tolerate that they say that. When Srila Prabhupada says something which is not in accordance with Shastra, that it is not a preaching strategy, that he has introduced, manifested a new siddhantic conclusion, which just happens to be in opposition to all existing Shastras. The bottom line is that nowhere Shastras state that the living entity falls from the spiritual world. There are many ambiguous quotes which can easily be misconstrued and misunderstood. And in the Bhakti Sandharva, there is a scant single reference that states that a person who eats grains on the Ekadasi becomes a murderer of his mother, father, brother, and spiritual master. And even if he is elevated to the Vaikuntha planet, he falls down. This is, however, a far cry from the many, many quotes that directly and clearly state that the living entity never falls from the spiritual world. This subject has been covered more thoroughly in a separate presentation entitled The Origin of the Jiva, bookmarked for later. Even in cases such as...
Hare Krishna. Sushin Prabhuji, I have a question for you here.
Yes?
When Mataji was reading about that, those punishments, that one falls down, aren't those things stated in Garuda Purana?
Which Purana?
Garuda Purana.
Fall down of what?
No, all these punishments and everything.
Yes, the karma kanda is mentioned.
What?
Yes, you know that, you know, awards and, you know, what you can say, punishments are mentioned. Karma being accepted. That is true. But that is in conditioned state. Okay, Jagamani Didi, we can discuss that later too. Jagamani Didi, you can read, I think, now.
Continue.
Yes, Didi.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Jagamani Didi.
Didi.
Hare Krishna, who should continue? Should I continue?
Jagamohini.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vandavat. Even in cases such as King Chitraketu being cursed, his bhakti was not covered, as is clear from his prayers as Ritasura. Or consider Jai and Vijay, the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha, who are often given as examples of fall down to the material world. Srila Sanatan Goswami states in Brihad Bhagavatam 2.4.183, Sakya Sampaditam Yatu Stira Satyam Chadrishate, that all the manifestations of the internal potency are stable and real. Once one attains bhakti, it becomes part of the devotee's essential nature and cannot be destroyed or reduced. Additionally, Srila Jiva Goswami states in his Priti Sandharva 7 that when Jaya and Vijaya became demons, within they knew themselves and kept their spiritual form. They came down as part of the Lord's Leela. And Srila Prabhupada writes, therefore it is to be understood that when Jaya and Vijaya descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. Bhagavatam 7.1.35 purport. Some advocates of the fall theory theorize that since there are so many emphatic scriptural statements that once going to the spiritual world, one never leaves it, it is Bhagavad Gita, that fall is only possible for those Nitya Muktas, who are already in the spiritual world, but not for the Nitya Bhadas, who perfect their devotional service in the material world and thereby qualify for entrance into the spiritual world. There exists not one shred of evidence in Shastra to support this theory, nor do Sanskrit terms exist for it, and it is offensive. This theory implies that Nitya Muktas, eternally liberated residents of Vaikuntha, are inferior to Bhada Muktas, the bound who become liberated. Nitya Muktas must come to the material world to become really fall-proof, to get a better education. That is, one cannot be a gentleman unless he visits a prison house. It also implies that Paya Bhakti, devotion produced by fear or suffering, is superior to Prema Bhakti, for only Paya Bhakti gives complete protection to a devotee. It also introduces the unallowable concept of fear into the spiritual world, for if one can fall down and witness others fall down, certainly there must be fear, which decries the very name Vaikuntha, without anxiety. Ideas such as falling from Vaikuntha are illogical. They are based on one's material conception projected upon the transcendental reality. Arguments given in support of fall down, which ultimately seek to impose an imperfection on the perfect world or on the perfect devotees, are only kutarka, false logic. They stem from a poor understanding of the Lord's Svarupa Shakti. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his Vivriti on Bhagavatam 3.7.11, emphatically states exactly this. All planets in the material world are places of fall down, and by the influence of Maya, people equate Vaikuntha to these material planets. If this was correct, then what would be the significance of Lord Krishna's statement? Aprama bhuvanal loka punar janma na vijate. What would be the value of his statement in that in the material world all beings are fallible, and in the spiritual world all beings are infallible? We have personally witnessed prominent leaders unable and or unwilling to answer the overwhelming evidence against their conclusions, shake their heads and say, anyway, we accept what Prabhupada says. But Srila Prabhupada says both things. It is not possible that both theories are true, as they are contradictory and not examples of Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. So this is an embarrassing position for the fall advocates, having been strongly advocating the fall theory for so long. Prabhupada has given us what is clearly the Siddhanta, that the living entity never falls, and he has sometimes told that we should be careful you can fall from any position, even from Vaikuntha. Sometimes stating this strongly, etc. Primary emphasis being on getting fixed up and only secondarily that you can fall. In Srila Prabhupada's books, referred to as the spiritual law books for the next 10,000 years, he mostly supports in his purports the no fall down from Vaikuntha, and sometimes his statements appear to be ambiguous. Most of Srila Prabhupada's statements, which appear to favor the fall theory, are found in letters, lectures, and conversations. Thus, it could be said that it appears to not be a clear case either way, as the confusion of many devotees attests. So we must harmonize these conflicting statements. Those who know the Siddhanta have no problem with this. However, many devotees do not understand or are not aware of the actual Siddhanta. We have seen GBC proponents of the fall theory change their position on the jiva issue in midstream. Formerly, they postured that the living entity fell from Vaikuntha. In light of, surprising to them, shastric evidence to the contrary, they changed their view to the ambiguous, we both fell and we didn't fall, with the GBC mandated stipulation that no one can state anything definitive regarding this matter, as we are judging Srila Prabhupada's intention from our lower position. However, because the statements of Srila Prabhupada that we fell from the Nitya Lila of the Lord differ from the Siddhanta, it is very clear, providing we know clearly what is the Siddhanta, that it is a preaching strategy. To think that Srila Prabhupada invented a new Siddhanta, which is diametrically opposing all existing Siddhanta, is incorrect and is no credit to Srila Prabhupada. This is adequately substantiated with quotes from Srila Prabhupada below. Certainly we recognize that Srila Prabhupada added many divine realizations to the existing Siddhanta, providing further enlightenment. But it is not at all Srila Prabhupada's mood to directly oppose Vedic authority and the parampara in this presumed way. Hardly is it glorification of Srila Prabhupada to present him as the origin of a new Siddhanta, which contradicts the direct words of Krishna himself. We find this idea very disturbing. Aside from above mentioned many times ambiguous statements of fall and equally no fall by Srila Prabhupada in his own writings and talks, it is not the conclusion of Shastra that the living entity falls from the spiritual world. To think that after so much purification and seva, in the progressive elevation of Krishna consciousness, finally obtaining the platform of ecstatic perfection of love of God, Krishna Prema, that we can, in a second, be thrown down to repeated births and deaths and entanglement in lust and greed and other material qualities, qualities which we have spent our lives purifying ourselves of, is also absurd. To claim this means that we do not understand this progressive development in Krishna consciousness from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti to Nishta Ruchiva and finally Krishna Prema. One cannot understand the ultimate goal of life and claim that that place from which having gone, one never returns is fallible. We have dealt more thoroughly with this topic in our separate Jiva presentation. Interested devotees desiring to understand the origin and bondage of Jiva are recommended to study this subject thoroughly. The truth is what it is and will not be hidden for long despite so many arguments to the contrary. As the Sat Sandarbhas, it is difficult to refute. We are all hopefully looking for the absolute truth, Krishna, so we must pursue it. Personal investigation has revealed that most devotees do not understand the philosophical points presented therein, nor really care to. The arguments presented against this line of Siddhanta seem to be based more on sentiment than logic and philosophy. Fair and open discussion is discouraged in spite of the great controversy. We would venture to say that opponents would be made to look completely foolish in an open debate where both sides are represented equally. We are reminded of many preaching encounters with the fanatical section of the Christians who, when defeated, either walk away or change the subject? What is our position if, in the name of blindly following the Guru, we go against sadhu and shastra? Those who are real sadhus, fixed up devotees who know the Siddhanta, are very upset by the authorities' decision in this regard. One prominent GBC acharya, both in a private conversation, responded to the statement that there are a great many statements, both texts and purports, which clearly and definitively state that the living entity never falls from spiritual world. With that's in Prabhupada's books, and then it was revealed that he seldom reads Srila Prabhupada's books.
Okay. Jagamahini, I don't know how long you've been reading. I was dropped there myself for a little while. Thank you very much, though. One thing I wanted to say about this jiva falling. We were reading in the Shisha Upanishad, Prabhupada Shisha Upanishad, about Krishna's relationship with the conditioned soul, with the souls, conditioned souls or otherwise, pure devotees. Mm-hmm. And one thing that is not mentioned in all these discussions about whether the jiva can fall from the spiritual world or not, is Krishna's relationship. What does Krishna think of the whole thing? What role does Krishna play? As if he had played no role whatsoever. And then it's up to the free will of the living entity. And whether Krishna has anything to do with it or not is never mentioned in any of their quotes to confirm either side of their arguments. Either fall or no fall arguments, they never bring the role that Krishna has in this whole thing. But Prabhupada was mentioning in that 18th shloka, Sri Shapashad, that the Lord had a very genuine concern, what would you say, constitutional concern for the living entity. So whether Krishna would allow his devotee to fall from his association or not, that is a central question it seems to me. One who dedicated his life and soul to serve some words of his life to the Lord, how could Krishna allow such a devotee to leave him? It's not like it can't be like that. Even in this material world, it is said, Sarvasya Chaham Radishani Vishnam Bhakti Matir Gnanam Apohananja. And there Krishna is saying, I am in everyone's heart. And it is from me, knowledge, remembrance, effortfulness, all is coming. Krishna is actually calling the living entity to forget and remember. Aham sarvasya bhuta mataḥ, everything is coming from him. So the central point is not the free will of the jiva. What is the desire of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord? That is all. All determining factor, the absolute principle.
Maharaj.
Not that Krishna forces, but that his sanction is absolutely necessary in the whole discussion. And this point is never brought into the picture for either side, argument of either side. I think, and that way it can be easily solved if we understand how Krishna, what Krishna's relationship with the jiva, with the liberated or the conditioned soul is not like he is indifferent and it's only up to us. It's also up to him. Just like we may find in the scriptures relationship of the devotee to Mahaprabhu Krishna. Sometimes there's some kind of disagreement between Lord and devotees. That is all part of this pastime. It's not that they become so much opposed to the Lord that they bloop, they leave the spiritual world. Those activities are all arranged by the yoga maya potency of the Lord. So they're not, it's not that somehow or other the living entity can suddenly decide in an opposing way, and then all of a sudden he is gone from that position. Yoga maya doesn't work like that. Mahamaya has no place within the realm of yoga maya. I think if we try to think of it in that way, the relationship that the living entity has with Krishna, or the soul has with Krishna, then there's so much emphasis on free will won't be there. It's not only up to our free will. Free will is necessary for there to be love, no doubt. But when that love is established, there is a relationship that is involved. That is the only important thing, not so much the free will.
Maharaj?
Someone has a question?
Yes, Maharaj. You know, I want to ask. Maharaj, you know, like you told, you know, that Krishna's will is, you know, most important. And from him comes, you know, remembrance of fullness and also knowledge. So, Maharaj, also Krishna says that, you know, yeyatha mam aparanti, in that. So, Maharaj, you know, sometimes devotees also quote this. So, you know, what you say about this? A devotee, I think, never, but you can say, develops, you know, like a mentality that is opposing to Krishna. So that is like.
Devotee is never opposed to Krishna. That's not true. It's devotees who are opposed to him. They fight with him. And he enjoys that. That doesn't mean there's no opposition. There's so much opposition in the spiritual world. Holy Radharani. So much envy, whatever, jealousy. But they are all in relation to Krishna. Nothing is restricted there. It's still in relation with Krishna. That is by his yoga maya. That is because it is all activated on the yoga maya. It's terrible to see the difference. Whatever we find in this world is also there, but it's under a different potency.
So Maharaj, actually, that is all restricted.
There's no activity of Mahamaya. There's no activity of Mahamaya there. Mahamaya means in forgetfulness of Krishna. Yoga Maya there is connection with Krishna and all positive. So many emotions may be there. It is under the pure potency, eternal potency.
Maharaj, it is said that, you know,
Do you understand the opposite way
also devotee can, you know, serve Krishna's will, like Krishna's pastime is assisting in that. So, you know, I want to know, like, you know, jiva samatra parle, vaitapale, and it also said that, you know, a jiva may desire, but the will of the Lord will manifest. Not that, you know, whatever jiva desire, you know, what he can feel, you know, sanctioned or fulfilled.
I can't hear you very clearly. Your voice is breaking up. What is your question, sir, simply?
Maharaj, your voice is also breaking. I think some connection problem.
All right. Yes. Maybe my computer is having a little trouble. Okay, you run your question, and we can do and ask. You're getting calls for what? Anyhow, you write the question, let's try for my answer. Then, Jonathan, maybe you can get in your ring, if you like. John, are you there? Question. You can call them again.
I can try calling once again. One minute.
Yes.
Maharaj, you know, like, you know, like you said, jiva samatra kare sabha ikta pade. Jiva ke me desire.
Jiva can desire. The Lord is manifesting. Is manifesting. So jiva is desiring, but the Lord's will is manifesting. Yes. Then,
but
is that only four conditions? No, of course not. That is true. Just like Ramananda Roy was speaking with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was asking so many questions. Ramananda Roy was not a conditioned soul, but pure devotee. And Siddhi was telling, you are making me speak. I'm like the instrument and you are making me speak. Something like that. A devotee sees Krishna and everything. That is correct vision.
Maharaj, here I want to say that you know, his desire is different than that of will of Lord. But maybe in the case of, you know, the pure devotee, the desire and will of the Lord are the same.
Yes. Living entity, conditioned living entity, desires to enjoy separately from Krishna. And Krishna provides that opportunity. And living entity desires to enjoy a relationship with Krishna. Krishna also provides that opportunity. Simply like that. It is by Krishna's sanction. And this is the point I was making. Krishna's sanction has to be considered. We can't just consider the free will of the living entity and think our business is finished. That is not the correct understanding. That's all, a very simple point. No big philosophical question involved. All right, Jonathan, probably you'd like to read now?
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you.
To try to separate Srila Prabhupada from his guru and from the predecessor acharyas, such as Jiva Goswami, is unthinkable. Yet there are those who propose just such a thing, that Prabhupada is the origin of a new sampradaya, a new siddhanta. Srila Prabhupada emphasized over and over again that his only credit was that he did not manufacture anything, that he followed his guru and shastra exactly. A few notable quotes by Srila Prabhupada follow. Guru must come from the parampara system by disciplic succession. In 5,000 years or 5 millions of years, what was spoken by the Supreme God or Guru the present guru also will say the same thing. That is guru. That is bona fide guru. Otherwise, he's not guru. Simple definition. Guru cannot change any word of the predecessor. My only credit is that I am presenting Krishna as he is. That's all. I am not deluding Krishna. And therefore, because it is pure, everyone accepts. So many swamis came before, but no devotees. Now they come by the thousands because we present the pure thing. We have not manufactured anything. I am not perfect. None of us claim to be perfect. We have so many faults. But because we don't speak anything beyond Krishna's teachings, our teaching is therefore perfect. Consciousness, the missing link, pages 13 to 14. The Parampara system does not allow one to deviate from the commentaries of the previous acharyas. By depending upon the previous acharyas, one can write beautiful commentaries. However, one cannot defy the previous acharyas. The system of commenting in one's own way is fully condemned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, 7.134, purport. You cannot change even a single letter of the Shastra. They cannot be changed. Lecture 62472. Don't be lazy. Always try to understand Krishna. Siddhanta, by Vedic conclusion, not by manufacturing ideas, Siddhanta. Personally, I have no credit for myself, but I am trying to act as a faithful servant of my predecessors and just presenting without any adulteration the message which I have received from my spiritual master. Letter to Krishna Das, 1st June, 1968. Actually, I cannot claim any credit for myself, but I say if any credit is due, it is due to the fact that I have not deviated from the original instructions. Whatever I have learned from my spiritual master, I have presented before you, and similarly, whatever success you are having only, it is due to the purity of the message which you are carrying. Letter to Krishna Das, 18th December, 1970. I also thank you very much for your appreciation of my books and letters, and for my speaking in the meetings. They are not my words, as I have repeatedly informed you that I am simply the bearer of the message from Lord Chaitanya through the disciplic succession, and I do not make any addition or subtraction. Letter to Bhagavan Das, 10 January 1970. In a 1971 conversation with Revatinandana, Srila Prabhupada said, "These questions are not to be discussed in public. They require a much higher understanding. For the public, it should be, this is matter, this is spirit, that's all." This is one example of a preaching technique by Srila Prabhupada. A well-known example of preaching something other than Siddhanta is that of Jiva Goswami's advocation of Parakiya Rasa over Svakya Rasa for the spiritual benefit of his disciples, while simultaneously always following Rupa Goswami internally. Srila Prabhupada writes, he could understand that Sahajiyas would otherwise exploit the Parakita Rasa as they are actually doing at the present. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 10.85 purport. A further example is that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Krishna Samhita, wherein he states that the Leelas of Lord Krishna are not to be taken literally, and further that the descriptions of the planetary systems in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam are allegorical. How are we to view those statements, these statements? Certainly he has a particular preaching purpose in mind. Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1968, "The statements of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are as good as scriptures because he is a liberated person." Letter to Janardhan, April 26, 1968. Here again, preaching doesn't always mean presenting the Siddhanta. Also, Jiva Goswami states in his Tattva Sandarbha that he cites only those portions of the revered Sridhar Swami's commentary that follow the natural spirit of the Bhagavatam and his Vaishnava conclusions. This is because Sridhar Swami intersperses Bhagavatam commentaries with monistic Advaitin interpretations, not as conclusions, but as a tactic to attract the followers of Sankara from their dry cakes of impersonal philosophy to the Bhagavatam's nectarian descriptions of Krishna Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself greatly appreciated Sridhar Swami's Bhagavatam commentaries and became very much disturbed when the Vallabhacharya did not show proper respect to Sridhar Swami. Most of our readers must also be aware that the Siddhanta presented by Srila Sridhar Maharaj and the entire Gaudiya Math is the same as in Vaikuntha, not even the least fall, which is the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Not understanding this Jiva Tattva, properly, many called Srila Sridhar Maharaj a liberationist, and even accused him of being a Mayavadi for putting forth that which is clearly and repeatedly enunciated by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas. Not having access to these literatures, most devotees are not aware of the extent or the depth of Srila Jiva Goswami's description of Vaikuntha and its innumerable glorious and transcendental qualities. Chapter after chapter, he gives clear, crystal clear, explicit explanations of all these points discussed above and many more intricate points, leaving no room for doubt as to the infallibility of the spiritual world. Unfortunately, only for those who are aware of these points. Thus the controversy goes on. Srila Prabhupada writes that one should be enchanted by this information, wondrous all-inviting glory of Vaikuntha. As far as the efficacy of the Satsandarbhas are concerned, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Srila Jiva Goswami compiled a book named Bhagavat Sandarbha, or Satsandarbha, which is the essence of all scriptures. From this book, one can obtain a conclusive understanding of devotional service and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila 4.229. And in London, on August 6, 1971, Srila Prabhupada said, so these Sandarbhas are so philosophically sound that throughout the whole world there is not a single philosopher who can defy Jiva Goswami's six Sandarbhas. Personally, we feel that this
Okay, we can stop here, I think. Okay. And now almost 9 o'clock. We can continue next Sunday with the rest. These subjects are a little controversial, but it's good to understand what is what. We are not afraid to confront these difficulties if we have proper understanding. And they are not should not be such an issue of controversy. That we can understand very simply what is going on, what has been said by the scripture, what is said by the acharyas. It is not a matter of big controversy at all. Scriptures are very clear.
Maharaj, it seems that, you know...
And our philosophy is very clear also. Our philosophy is very clear. What's that?
Maharaj, it seems that, you know, origin of Jiva is, you know, confused among devotees also, yeah, and also among, you know, what you can say, scientists. And, you know, scientists are confused at the level of, what you can say, Brahmanda. You know, the devotees are, you know, beyond Brahmanda, what is happening, they are confused, it seems.
Yes. Srila Maharaj said these ideas are very difficult, mainly Jiva, Shiva, and Guru. These three topics. What is the nature of these three things? Jiva, Shiva, and Guru are all very confusing for the devotees. Why? Because they are somehow between. They are the between points, the borderline points between spiritual and material. Guru also, Guru Tattva is difficult to understand. Who is Guru? What is his actual position? Is he ordinary man? By his behavior, we may think in some ordinary way. That is not the correct understanding. Guru is also a very divine figure. And Shiva also. Shiva is the principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the sound in there, and Shiva. One and different. One with God and different from God. Same with Krishna and different from Krishna. Anyhow, so these things are there. But like I said, it is not so complicated if we keep the basic Krishna consciousness in mind. Nothing can happen without Krishna's sanction. And I think that is the point that is being missed. The arguments from, as far as I see, from either side are atheistic in the sense that they leave out Krishna entirely and leave everything up to the will of the Jiva. And quoting from Shastra regarding that, it's atheism. One should not be atheist if we want to understand Krishna consciousness and the philosophy and Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. We must be fully harmonized with Krishna, personality of Godhead, the Supreme Conscious Entity. Abhigyasvarat. The independent, cognizant being. All right, very good. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you, Maharaj.
You can all. I want to say. I want to say happy birthday to Purushottam.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Maharaj. Gandhava Pranam.
Maharaj Subhendu Prabhu and our Subhendu Prabhu.
Yes, Subhendu Prabhu Haribol. I'm very happy to see you after a long time. We haven't seen you. So nice that you are able to join us. Dhanavats.
Dhanavats Pranam, Maharaj.
Dhanavats Prabhu. So simple.
Jai Srikad Bhakti Mata Puri Maharaj Ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To the Guru today, if you are.
And about my head.